Because I'm sure you could be a riverboat captain and not have a French accent.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Cloud.
And this is... We Watch Spookies.
Today's movie is Child of Glass. Child of Glass is a 1978 fantasy family adventure film directed by... John Erman. Starring Barbara Barry, Biff McGuire, Anthony Zerbe, Nina Folk, Katie Kurtzman, Steve Shaw, and Olivia Barish.
Well, a family moves into an old plantation house. And once they get there, folks that they know, because they're not moving that far away from where they actually came from, Auntie Fortune Teller Witch Lady says something to the male child that he can see and help ghosts now, because he was chosen. And it happens to be that there is a young lady who was killed at that location, and her soul cannot go to rest. So she acquires his help and the help of a friend named Blossom, not to be confused with the Powerpuff Girl. And they have to find the Child of Glass. And they do.
Totally accidentally. Like, yeah. They don't do anything at all to actually do it.
Yeah, like I knew that it was going to be in the well, because when we see like the weird little flashbacky thing, you see her drop it in the well, because that's where she dies.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's in the wall, not at the bottom. Like, how did he get, like, tucked away in the wall?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't look like it falls that way in the crystal ball vision, which is apparently a thing that actually works. Which, there's ghosts, so fine, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. But the movie can't seem to decide whether it wants to believe in stuff or not, though.
Yeah.
Because there's all of the... Like, the cat's tail that you can see witches if you look over, and, like, these magic herbs and stuff. And none of that seems to do anything. But then the crystal ball actually seems to work, and there actually are, well, at least one ghost. There may not be others. We never see others.
Well, it's like, I don't know, like, how much is supposed to be, like, this works and this doesn't work, because it's a little girl who's doing it, and she's just kind of being told from the aunt. And so it makes me wonder if she's not even doing it correctly.
Well, probably
not. She just thinks that she is.
But the crystal ball works.
Yeah, the crystal ball does work.
I mean, she can't see anything at first.
Yeah.
And it, like, locks on to him.
And so, like, that's what kind of makes me wonder, like, I wonder if she's just doing a few things wrong. And it's like...
Maybe.
Like, are the witches invisible?
Well, there aren't any witches.
Exactly.
Just a ghost. So... Yeah, I don't know if it, like, lets you see invisible witches, or just, like, you look at someone, you don't know if they're a witch or not, but then you can see it somehow if you're looking over the cat's tail.
There's, like a big foam hand that's just, like, a pointy finger. And
witch,
says witch,
right here.
Yeah.
It's like the boss wizard sign.
Boss wizard.
I didn't have it handy. Yeah. Well, I mean, if there's a boss wizard, there's got to be a, whatever the female version of the word boss is. Witch, I guess.
Isn't it still boss?
It probably, I guess, technically speaking, but that doesn't seem very creative or comedic. It seems
supervisor,
like,
witch.
There has to be a twist to it somehow, so because that's where the comedy comes from. Because you can't just have another neon sign, because we've seen that already.
What if it was, like, the same neon sign, but they, like, just replaced wizard with witch? Just, like, scratched it out.
And... Like the not a spa?
Yeah, like, she's just, like, shoving him out of the way.
We're talking about Action Bunnies, if you're new here. Go watch the Action Bunnies shorts. They're on YouTube.
They're funny. They're pretty funny. Yeah, do it.
We drop drops from them from time to time, so. Oh, you know. It's 5 miles outside of town.
It is 5 miles outside of town.
But it's...
Which isn't bad.
Yeah.
Even the dad makes a comment. Because, like, the sister's like, but my social status, like, my friends. It's like, you listen here now. 5 miles is not going to get in the way of any guy that's trying to date you.
You'll be in the same school. the same friends.
Fine. Same bus, probably. Like, the bus is going out of its way.
I mean, I'm surprised they get the school bus out there.
Because
they seem to be the only house in the neighborhood, because it's not really a neighborhood, because it's a plantation, so it has
extensive
land.
Well, I want to know
where
Blossom is living.
Well, like, close enough to run to, because she lives with Auntie Fortune Teller.
But
because her, I guess
she?
Her mom is dead, they say, and we don't know what happened to the dad. Presumably, he left at some earlier time, and she's made up this whole story to herself about how he's a secret agent somewhere or something, and that's why nobody's heard from him. But it seems more likely that it's the he went out to get some cigarettes one night and never came back kind of thing that happens often in movies.
He comes back with the cigarettes being like, let me tell you about the evening I had. Dad, it's been like 10 years. You don't say!
But she seems, I mean, I guess she lives there. She's the only one that, that she seems to have is family. And it's not, I mean, it doesn't seem like that much of a house. It kind of seems like
it's a shack.
It's a shack where you go to get like your fortune told and stuff. And there's a like really handmade looking sign that points the way down this kind of creepy looking, path into the forest.
Bro, it's not even creepy. It's just like dirty, like Mo, please.
Yeah, well,
overgrown. I mean, now if there was like smell of chewing tobacco, maybe some whiskey kept in that old flask.
Well, there is some whiskey. It's not a flask. He just buys the small bottles so he can carry them around. I guess maybe he just keeps a small bottle handy and just fills it up. But that seems like more
work than he would put out,
and requiring more coordination than he commonly has available to him because he drinks so much, even though he only drinks from small bottles.
Yeah,
see what the mayor was missing out on, little things like those little pizzas might have a kick, you don't know.
Yeah, quite filling.
Magic little pizzas.
God damn it, what did she call that thing that he was supposed to work on?
The gazebo.
Gazebo, thank you.
Yeah,
like I really like how they keep calling back to the gazebo through the movie.
Even though it's of no consequence at all.
Yeah, it's like of no consequence. And then like towards the end, like the super important old lady who doesn't leave her house shows up to the party. And then the mom just kind of breaks down and is talking about she couldn't even get the gazebo. It leans. And it's like, but it's always leaned.
Yeah, it always did.
And,
yeah.
And I really kind of enjoyed how the ballroom-ish scenes played out. Because I don't really care so much for the mom, because I think the mom's kind of selfish in this whole I have to show off.
Yeah, she's very show-offy. She wants the social status away from whatever her name was.
Said other rival woman.
Yeah. It's a very, like, live-action How the Grinch Stole Christmas kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
They compete for social status, and she's got the big Christmas lights, and she doesn't have as much Christmas lights, and like, we don't know what kind of plantation she has or anything. If she's throwing the parties, apparently it doesn't interest the old lady very much because she has not been out in like 40 years.
Well, I like the party. I don't like the reasoning behind having
the
party.
It's a very selfish reason for a party.
But then, like, when the old lady does show up, because I'm not going to remember her name. When the old lady shows up, like, the way everything is shot and the way that the people have to act to represent it, it's like a really, really powerful kind of moment. Because she shows up and then, like, everything gets quieter. And then it's just like, yeah, darling.
Because other people notice and she hasn't noticed.
Yeah, darling, I think so-and-so is going to be even more green with envy because you have a guest. And she turns and there she is. In this black dress, and it's like, oh my goodness, she showed up. And then whenever she goes out to the dance floor to dance with the husband, everybody just kind of gives her space because, like, they all know how important this woman is.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's not really explained in the movie, it's just, here's this lady, she is really old, she is from this time period, and she never leaves her house because no one's parties interest her. So it's like she is the goal to reach. And it's that kind of structure, as limited knowledge as it is, makes it interesting anytime she's involved.
Hmm. Well, it is a little bit surprising because this was made, like I called it a film. It is a film, but it is technically an episode of the World of Our World of Disney on NBC that ran for like 20, 30 something years. It was the same as the Wonderful World of Color, and they called it several different things at various different times. But it's Disney.
Yeah.
And it's on television, and there's a lot of at least seemingly non-Disney kind of ideas here that aren't like, it's not the bad characters that have them, and like nobody, I guess the party kind of gets wrecked, but then it's saved at the end by the old woman being like, oh, it's okay and everything. That she's like really, really selfish and like wants to cause this other woman to be jealous, and there's just like there's nothing really about it that's like, maybe don't be that way because the kids are watching. Which I guess, you know, take your kids to this one, even in spite of that.
Well, it just makes me feel like she's a shallow person.
Well, she's very shallow.
And yeah. because of her shallowness, why should I care about the things that are revolving around her? It's like, even like for like how she treats the son, like I can understand, all right, I'm going to use you a little bit as child labor because you're my child to kind of help clean up the place. But I don't see a need to like have him be part of it if he doesn't want to be part of it. Now, if he's going to be around, I think it would be kind of best to have him dress for the part because he's going to be around.
Yeah.
But if he's just like, oh, no, I'm going to be like over here. Like, all right, we'll just let him, because it's not like the party's 12 hours long.
No.
Yeah.
But she also is very presuming of just everybody's going to be able to find Civil War era clothes to wear. In like just what, a couple weeks or something, I think the party is away from when they originally planned it.
It's really soon, because like they move in October, and the party is they act like it's supposed to be on Halloween, but it's the day before.
Yeah, it's the day before.
So like that there's a little bit of a continuity issue with the dialogue explaining events, because that's what they said, it was going to be a Halloween party.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is. It's just the night before.
Yeah.
That's probably whatever the weekend day lands on. Halloween was probably a weekday.
Most likely.
But
it's like whenever you don't do it on Halloween day, you need to do it like on the weekend beforehand. It just, I don't know. Like, makes me feel icky.
Well, like, people do all kinds of things like that. Like people have
literally the day before.
People have birthday parties on the weekend instead of the actual day, and, you know, even the big government holidays, like if they land on an odd day, then we have the actual day, and then we have this holiday observed like the next day, just so people can have as like multi-day weekends as possible. So they cheat around dates and holidays and specific times for things.
You get Sunday and Tuesday.
Yeah. It's like, what? And I don't like that. I don't like this, like, this day observed. Like, no, it's not observed. It's observed on the day. That's what observed means. You observe the holiday. It's not, you don't just like stretch out the days off and just, no. And you wouldn't have to do that if you would just anchor it to something besides, you know, like Thanksgiving's always a Thursday because it's anchored to a third, like it's the third Thursday, not
that was the
a
fourth.
Specific date. I don't think it's maybe it is the fourth.
Yeah, I think it's the fourth Thursday of every November.
So then it's not, it doesn't jump around. It's always a Thursday, so everyone knows what to expect.
Now, I just kind of feel, now, this has nothing to do with the movie, but on a more neighborhood kind of structure, because this is supposed to be Halloween, I want to look at it like, okay, well, you got kids who are going to do stuff. You got parents who want to do stuff. You know, a lot of these movies that we're watching for this month all take place, like, on the day of, before, like, right on the precipice. All right? So I'm like, Halloween does fall on a Tuesday. A Tuesday is a weekday. So maybe you don't want to have kids doing stuff on like on a school night or something. So when are you supposed to do it? Are you supposed to do it on Friday before, Saturday before, Sunday before? I think I know like some places will do this, and it's like, hey, we're gonna really break it down, and it's like, okay, we're actually gonna have like the trick or treating done on this day instead of actually Halloween day. And I, like I said, like I know some places do it. I think more places need to do it. It needs to be a bit more evident where it's like everybody knows anyways, because like, even though we don't have kids, you know, I live in a neighborhood where kids do come by. So I'd like to know what day this is supposed to happen so I can shut my lights off. Cause I ain't got no money for candy. I'm sorry, kids. I don't. But at the same time, I can expect that it's going to be this day. So on normal Halloween day, it's like, yes, 31st. Yeah, it's a Wednesday, but it doesn't matter. I can still go about my business normally.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This came out in May of 78. So, which doesn't really make any sense, being that it's a story that takes place on in October. But, so if we assume that it documented an event that happened prior to its release, if we place it in real time, such as it could have been, and then it just came out 6 months later, which is not what happened because it didn't really happen, then October of 77, Halloween is a Monday, and the day before is a Sunday. So
yeah, that'd be fine.
That would make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I don't know what it was in 70. I guess I don't even, does it move like one day forward or what? Like, I don't even know how dates work. But
somebody clip that. I don't even know how dates work.
Bad dates.
We don't do things on Tuesday in this house.
Yeah, it moves one day forward. So 78 would have been a Tuesday. Yeah. So that's how dates work.
You know, whenever we started this, and the movie is called Child of Glass. Now I'm guessing it's glass because a child of porcelain doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that doll's not made of glass.
Well, they say porcelain doll though, which makes sense because that's what you make dolls out of, or China dolls, I guess.
And surprisingly enough, the plot's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I just think that there's a few things that are a bit weak, like the well and anything that deals with the well, like the falling into the well, because what is going on here?
There is a bit of an inherent problem just because of the kind of story that it is that the existence of the riddle makes no sense.
Yeah. Who passes out these ghost riddles?
Yeah, where did it come? Because the curse came from the riverboat captain guy, who I guess was what, an uncle or something?
Yeah, he was the uncle.
He wasn't the dad. And he's angry at her, and so apparently you can just curse people and it works, so that's another thing that just
I want to know how he cursed her before he died. It's like he's not like a magic riverboat captain.
No, he just says, I curse you to this and that and things and stuff. And then,
because like this is Louisiana, so, you know, we got like a little bit of this voodoo stuff that could be a source, but they never go with that.
No, there's no voodoo at all. It's just kind of like generic fortune telling. And it's just like, I curse you. And it's just sort
but
of general.
How?
Yeah, I don't know. Because
my
can just
river,
curse people.
My riverboat captain. Magic.
And he doesn't even sound French, really. No. Like, she sounds very French.
Very French. And so I think it'd be best to assume that it, like, I don't know, if he's not French, maybe her mom is French. And that's about it. Because I'm sure you could be a riverboat captain and not have a French accent. And
well, yeah, I'm sure. But...
Well, I guess that depends, because even though he's the uncle, he could be the uncle on either side. So maybe she's only, like, hardcore half French.
Well, she got the whole accent.
I spend more time with mom. Mom's got that thick accent.
I mean, the last name, Dumaine, is a French name. So it can't be just the mom, because they wouldn't have the family name then. So the dad's got to be French too.
All right,
then
so,
maybe
so,
the uncle is I don't know, maybe he's been not in France long enough that it wore off.
Too much riverboat captaining around.
Yeah. But just this riddle business, it's like, oh, the riddle. And just the way that the curse is able to be broken, like, get the doll back. Like, well, why? He didn't mention the doll and the curse, and
yeah.
He didn't seem to leave an out for it at all. He just said, I curse you to this and that, and he didn't say, except if someone does such and such to break the curse, and it'll be in rhyme form, and you won't know, and someone will have to figure it out. Like, none of that is how any of it works.
Yeah.
It seems fairly permanent, but then there's all of these rules we don't understand, which then they add on to later, because then she's like, oh, well, ghosts can like manifest physically like one time for a short period of time.
Why?
And it's like, what?
Ever. Yeah.
Which then we sort of get reverse Casper here before there was Casper. So then they do still dance at the big party on Halloween, you know, just before Halloween, although I guess the Casper party was on Halloween. But this time it's the girl that's the ghost.
I just want to know why they put diamonds in the doll. Like, how did they manage putting diamonds in the doll? Why? Because if anybody realized that just makes your daughter a target. Come on.
Well, and it's real easy to make off with, too. You can just pick it up and run away. It's not hard to carry or hard to hide. I don't know. The whole, like, treasure thing is really secondary, except it's not.
Well, it feels like it's secondary, and the breaking point for that is whenever Jermaine, as I think that's her name, Jermaine.
What? The ghost?
Yeah.
Well, the last name is Dumaine.
Dumaine.
But her name is Inez.
Inez
Dumaine. Yeah. When she says what her name is, just as when she's fading back into the spirit world, it's very hard to understand what she says.
Yeah. But whenever she kind of has that almost a tantrum, whenever the boy brings up the treasure.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ah, that right there. You put a pin in it. Now I know it's important.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like it shouldn't be, because it's like the kids getting the diamonds in the end. Like, what did that actually serve?
Not really anything.
Because even the drunkard that was trying to kidnap, attack, kill him or whatever, he didn't even know about the diamonds.
No, so it wasn't like he was after them for the diamonds.
Yeah, so it's just...
It's because they knew he burned down the barn.
And, you know, it feels like a cheat. Like, instead of the kids doing something good because it's right, it's like, it almost feels like they just got paid off, though. Like, if the diamonds never actually played any importance, because, like, oh yeah, the daughter never did have the diamonds.
Yeah.
And so, like, her death is completely, completely unjustified. And I'd be more satisfied with that, because it doesn't feel so much like a cheat.
Well, the diamonds, I mean, it's not nearly as major as this, but I think it would have actually been better if the diamonds were... not like the treasure didn't exist, it was just a story, or maybe it did and she just never had it and so she was killed for nothing, and so it just adds to the tragedy.
Exactly.
Having them actually be there at the end lessens it in a way, sort of like, it's kind of like Ares shouldn't be real at the end of Wonder Woman. It's just like, you can talk about it the whole time as if it's important, but then when it comes time to find out whether it's important, it turns out it's not, and so it reinforces the rest of it as being the things that were important. But then, no, look, diamonds. And I guess Blossom doesn't really have money, so I guess she will benefit from having the diamonds. But like, his dad is a lawyer and stuff, and they just bought this big plantation, and they throw this big party, and they don't seem to really need money. So
no.
It's not so much a thing for him as it is for her.
Well, it's like the kids don't know what to do with diamonds. Like that,
well, no.
Like that. That's a balancing step. It's not like they're adults who understand like how you would go about handling such expensive stuff. It's like, oh no, it's like diamonds. Hey, diamonds are worth money.
Yeah.
Like, what are you gonna do? How are you going to actually use it? Like that's kind of the issue. Like, that's why I didn't want there to be diamonds at all.
Yeah.
Because it kind of keeps the kids staying as kids.
Well, did we know it was diamonds, or did we just know it was treasure?
No, it starts off just being treasure, but it's diamonds later on. Because, like, whenever we have the crystal ball scene, like, he says, like, you have the diamonds. Yeah. And that's whenever they're like, that's when it's important, and now we know what to look for.
Yeah.
That's also when we see her fall down the well, and the doll's in the well. And then every part of the riddle is immediately answered right there. Which I feel is kind of a cheat. Because if you're paying any attention, it's already over with. Now it's more, it becomes a like about the journey instead of the destination kind of bit.
Yeah.
Because now you know what's going to happen, but how are they going to get to it?
Yeah. Well, and the drunk guy is Anthony Zerbe, and he's, I couldn't figure out who he was for like the whole movie. And it wasn't until I was like pulling all this up to have it to read from that I realized who it was, or what I was associating it with. Cause you know, he's been in a ton of things. He's a well-known actor, but the thing I was thinking of, cause it was his voice and something about the way that he moved his face, is that the two things that I know him most from are the second Timothy Dalton James Bond movie, where he plays one of the bad guys, and he's the like bad admiral guy in Star Trek Insurrection. He gets his like face stretched to death at the end, or towards the end, and like that's what I was. It was just his voice and his face, but this is so much longer ago that and he's doing kind of like a drunk sort of slur the whole time that it was just really hard to place. There, I guess it's because he's drunk. But he's like mumbling to himself about how like you take my home from me, I'll take yours from you. But he doesn't burn down the house. He burns down the barn, which is way away from the house and is no danger to the house. And that he pours gasoline on dry hay as if it's hard to catch hay on fire.
Paint thinner.
Or yeah, paint thinner, yeah.
But like the barn was where he was staying.
Well, yeah, so he burned down his home that wasn't his anymore, but just not theirs, because they don't live in the barn.
The mistakes you make when you're drunk.
Yeah.
The barn is on fire. I don't remember the son's name, but he's not in the barn.
No, which I don't know how they know. Because like the firemen are still kind of scooping around in the wreckage, and they're like, yeah, he wasn't in the barn. And it's like, well, there'd be kind of, like, not much of him to find.
I'm sure there'd still be some bones left.
Well, there would be bones, yeah, but they haven't sieved through the whole thing yet, so...
We haven't sieved through all of the ashes?
I don't think they could be. They're very sure.
Bring me that old prospector. I need his skills.
But also, I guess the family just stood there and watched it burn to the ground all night, because they have not put on clothes. They're still just standing around in their robes and pajamas, and like nothing of consequence was happening. Like, you could have gone and put on clothes, because now you got like stuff to do, heaving them out of the well. And also no way the police ever make that decision. Like, he's so easily pushed into, well, we're not telling her to do it. She asked to do it, and the rope will probably hold her. She's not very heavy. And they just go along with it and just drop a second kid into the well by a ye old rope. And then it was just hanging on the wall in the well house that no one has been in who knows how long. And it'll be fine. I mean, it is fine, kind of, but the thing breaks and she starts to fall. And if she did, it's like, it's the policeman's fault.
Yes.
Because he's in charge of the situation and he let this happen.
Well, I think it's the whole making haste bit. Because even if you were to use the rope, no one paid any attention to like the surroundings until like what was it the mom or the dad who tries to step on the edge and then it starts to collapse a little bit. And then like at that point, you should be focusing on like the structural integrity of everything, because it's a well. Like, it's designed for things to go up and down within the well to get stuff out of it. Like, pay attention to that. If it's in good condition, you can use it. And they tried using it, but they didn't check its condition.
No, they didn't.
And so, like, and when it does break,
it broke.
And she, like, falls, it's just like, oh, well, she's dead. And, like, what's up with this? Okay, so, like, all the wells I've ever seen are more or less just a straight drop. And
why does it have a ledge?
Why does it have, like, a ledge large enough for a kid to just, like, be passed out on it?
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen a well that's like that. Now, granted, that doesn't mean they don't exist, but it is a bit odd.
Yeah, I can't really think what it would be for, why you would need a ledge in the well, unless, no, you wouldn't do that because you wouldn't want to contaminate the drinking water, potentially. I mean, the people did used to use sources of water like that to keep things cool, but you wouldn't just want to be, like, keeping stuff on a shelf in the well that you're drinking from. So, I don't think it would be that, really. I don't know. There's no reason for there to be a shelf. And it's enough that he's able to fall into the well, land on it, be unconscious so that he cannot keep himself on the ledge by any means, and remains on the ledge.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't just bounce off the ledge and fall down the rest of the well.
Like, the ledge is large enough that you can put two of me side by side, and there'll still be room.
I'm not sure it's that big. He's taking up most of the ledge.
He's still pretty big.
But
I'm not saying I'm sprawled out. Like, I'm talking about, like, I could sit here, side by side, and there'd still be room.
Okay. That could be.
Like, legs dangling off, looking up, and calling the people up top, like, oons.
I don't like that the dad calls it a noose. Like, it seems like not the best thing, because it's not really a noose, it's just like a slip knot, but...
We're gonna hang my kid.
It's already a dangerous, maybe he's dead already situation, and then he's like, put the noose around it!
He's still breathing! Definitely put the noose around him!
Yeah.
What?
It's a poor choice of words, it seems to me.
Alright, so, when it comes to characters, I am a stickler. So, I don't like the mom. We don't get enough about the sister. I think Blossom is kind of adorable. Like, it's just, it's like the little things that she does. Yeah. Like, if I was him, I would be annoyed by it. But just, like, kind of watching it happen in a movie, I was like, aww, that's sweet. I don't have a problem with the son. I don't really see too much issue with him. Because it's like, I don't want to do it, but I guess I'll help. And he makes a lot of decisions, which... are relatively smart. Like, well, why aren't you helping? Like, I want to help, but I have to do this so I'm not grounded, because if I am grounded, I can't help at all. And so it's like, there's enough thought behind the character's actions that's at least verbalized for the audience, where it's like, hey, this kid isn't stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually like this kid. Now, the dad, I like the dad. I'd say the dad's probably my favorite character, because even though he might not have all the perfect choice words, I like the whole startup scene, like with, I guess, the whole first act portion of the movie, because everything that deals with the dad is relatively good. And whenever they're driving to the new place, like, all of the stuff that he's got to say is good. Whenever the son's talking to him. Because, like, whenever you have kids, and your kids are going to say or think or do things that, as an adult, you might see through. It's like, okay, well, ghosts aren't real. You're probably hearing this.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times, you'll get parents who are just, I guess you'd say, too reversing, where it's like, no, this isn't, you're wrong. But with him, it's like, you don't believe me? It's like, I believe that you believe.
Yeah.
And so, like, while I might not agree with you, I can understand that you're believing the situation that you're in. And I like that. I think that's good for parenting. Now, it just may be because the son hasn't fully explained everything that he should have explained. It's like, mm-hmm. I hear...
Well,
because
he doesn't explain very much.
Yeah, it's like, Dad, you gotta listen. All right. I could swear... that there was a ghost in the barn that went by this name, and she told me this riddle, And so I just want to figure out, like, who is this person? Like, why? Like, why do I know of this specifically? And then, like, maybe the dad would be like, all right, well, I'll drop you off at the library after school. You let you look into some books that may have history events in this area, you know, something like that, where it's like the dad's being supporting, but he's not just going to drop everything to just do this wild goose chase.
Yeah.
Even the, when the cat is running wild because the dog shows up for some reason.
Well, like, it does seem to be that maybe it's true that people can only manifest once, but it's not true for the dog.
Yeah, the dog
comes in and out of real
and
ghost. Yeah, all the time.
And the dad's just like, when he's really angry, but he's not yelling or anything. He's just like,
yeah,
go outside.
Get the dog out of the house.
Get it. We'll talk about this later. You know, it's because you can tell he's angry, but he's not lashing out.
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, it's like, it's one of those like, hey, this feels like a real dad.
Yeah.
A good dad who's real, but he's a character in a movie. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So I really like him. Like, top notch. Need more characters like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, even when he's not being a dad, when he's just being a husband.
The lawyer tactics.
Yeah, the
lawyer. Yeah, boy. Like, was it? Criminal lawyers will drag things out. Business lawyers will beat him to the punch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a really good way of explaining that. Oh. So, yes.
Because she's busy just presuming a ton of information. Like, of course she had her party then because she knows, even though we've told no one about our party yet. But and he's like, well, hang on. Let's think a minute.
Now, I can kind of understand, like, some of that, because if everybody knows you're moving and you're in direct competition with somebody, chances are they are going to have a housewarming party. You just have to guess when they're going to
happen. I do kind of wonder if anyone but them two know that they're in competition, though. Like, yeah. Does the rest of the town actually care about
this? I was
going to
say, like, do they actually care? It like, knowing isn't like, important. It's caring.
It doesn't seem to be of that much consequence to it. Because even when the party starts to fall apart, people aren't, like, taking sides or anything. It's just, like, she's laughing because she feels like, oh yes, her party is ruined, this is great for me, and she's all depressed because the party's ruined and it's bad for her, and it's only the old lady that has any opinion on it at all. The other people are just kind of like, well, I guess the party's over, and they start to kind of file out.
Fuck that. But there's still food on that table.
There is food on the table in Pynchon.
There's lots of food.
It's
like a pyramid of meatballs on that plate.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're meatballs. I think they might be like baked apples or something, like tiny apples.
I was gonna say because
I've
are
seen
really
that.
Small.
I know what that thing is, but I can't think of what it is. I've seen that as a thing before.
They look delicious.
I don't think it's meat though. I think it's something sweet. But it's not even like that the drinking is necessarily bad. I guess his drunkenness is bad. But everyone is drinking.
Yeah.
Because there is bourbon in mint juleps. They don't say it, but that's what's in them. So they don't... there's no, like, drinking is good or bad. Just people are drinking.
The mint water or whatever that is.
What?
They're like, when the old lady in the black dress shows up and she's like, oh, yeah,
I
back.
Say, mint julep, that's what it is.
Okay, mint julep.
Mint julep,
okay.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'll partake upon that mint julep, and that's a big ass glass too.
Well, it's over, like you make a mint julep in a glass full of crushed ice, so the crushed ice takes up like you pack it full of crushed ice to start with, and you use silver cups for just traditional reasons.
But we're gonna need more mint, and we're gonna need more bourbon.
Well, I mean, when they make a mint julep is that they, in the same way that when people make an old fashioned, they like muddle the heck out of the fruit in the glass. And so then you just have fruit bits getting in your mouth when you're trying to drink and it's unpleasant and not really additive. And that's not what you're supposed to do. People do that with mint juleps too. They take some mint and they put it in the glass and then they muddle it around and beat the heck out of it. And so then you have these tiny pieces of mint getting in your mouth all the time when you're trying to drink, and that's not what you're supposed to do. you're supposed to have the giant sprig of mint in the top of the glass. And so when you go to take a drink, then your face is in the mint and you get the smell of the mint. And because it's sticking in there, it's getting some of the mint oil and stuff in it. But you don't beat the mint up. And so you have tiny pieces of mint in the drink.
Yeah.
It's just supposed to be some mint. It's not supposed to be
all the mint.
All the mint. It's not supposed to, you're not drinking toothpaste. So it's not what it's for.
Yeah, what do you mean we're not drinking toothpaste? What kind of fucking party is this?
Yeah. The only thing about the mom is that I do kind of feel bad about the lamp. Because it is like the ancestral lamp or something, like it belonged to the grandmother.
Wait, I don't remember the lamp breaking.
It falls off the table, and the light goes out. So it's like a Tiffany kind of like stained glass shade. There's no way it fell off a table and didn't break at least some of it.
So like everybody's grandma's stuff was getting ruined that night.
Yeah, the dress, the lamp, which I guess in a way kind of makes it okay because. She loses her lamp, she loses her dress, and so they both get what's coming to them kind of for their dumb competition and jealousy.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can probably clean the dress. You can't really unbreak the lamp.
I guess depending on how bad it's broken.
Yeah. I don't really know what she got on the dress anyway, but it's hard to tell.
Grape juice.
I don't think it was grape juice.
We're gonna need some OxiClean for that.
There is a little bit of even like this is the '70s, but they're going like full South still here. Like all of the butler types are all like black dudes, and it's on a plantation, and
there's like the one old white butler lady who just like frowns at all.
Well,
of
that's
the
aunt.
Really?
That's fortune teller aunt, yeah.
I couldn't even tell!
I know.
I couldn't even tell! Like, I was so used to her, like, not, like, actually looking like a fortune teller.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, okay. That's why she was, like, giving the kid such, like, eyes.
Yeah, because she knows what's going on.
Just like, he was just stuffing his face, and I thought it's just like, get away from the table. Quit eating, you little munchkin.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, you're supposed to be doing shit. I legit. All right, now, speaking of that damn kid. Because when they have the doll, and he knows what he's got to do, and then they run in the cemetery, and the guy's there, and they escape long enough to get into the tomb, or the little, like, the area with the door.
The
crypt. They spend more time worrying about him almost being there, and then he's got to, like, go check the door again. Like, at this point, you could have already put the doll where it's supposed to be. And then, like, it's done.
Well, they don't know what's going to happen, I guess. They don't know. I mean, there's nothing else in the riddle. There's no ritual or anything. And as one is kind of vague, because it's not really, like, they just put it kind of on top of the casket. It's not like they have to actually give it to the body or
See,
anything.
See, like, that's what I was thinking. Like, they were going to have to push it
open the lid.
And then, like, put it in. But I guess that'd been too scary or something.
It's too graphic to see somebody dead.
But, like, that's what I was thinking. And then it's just like, no, like, we got to wait. And I'm gonna leave my flashlight on because maybe that light's going to bleed through the door. And then they go and check the door. It's like, oh, I think we're safe. Better check the door. And of course, that door's heavy and makes a lot of noise. Like, if he just would have left the door alone, he probably wouldn't have. He would have just left you be.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, he's half drunk, and then the ghost shows up, and he's like, "Ooh, ghost!" Then he panics and runs to the police. That was funny. I give up. Just take me. Get me out of here.
Yeah, and they kind of give each other like a, well, okay. I guess kind of look.
He was living in a van down by the river. Without the van.
Yeah. So he, like, literally lived in the barn.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, he's lived in the barn. Hasn't the house been in disrepair for, like, 100 years or something, though, according to the book?
But not the barn.
Well, yeah, but, like, he's caretaking the property for
20 years. he had been working there for 20 years.
Yeah.
And nothing got done.
No.
Who was paying him? Who owned the house beforehand?
I mean, they said they bought the house because they mention properties like this don't come up for sale too often. So somebody sold the house. But, it, I mean, there's a little bit of, I mean, there's the reverse Casper thing, but there's also some parallel to Haunted Mansion, except there's, no, I mean, there's still like a curse and there's a ghost and there's no dead people in the backyard. Like they're still within running distance because everything is within running distance. They don't even have bicycles. They're not even like good 70s, like save the situation kids. They just had to run.
Inserts running montage.
But they don't. They don't explain why the house was for sale.
Yeah,
it just is, even though nobody's lived there in a super long time. But someone was paying him to. I guess they never came to check to make sure he was doing any work. He says it's my day off. It seems like that was kind of every day.
Yeah. You think he would have been working on that gazebo, but I guess not.
Yeah, it always leaned anyway. So how do we feel about stars?
3 stars. I mean, I'd give it 4, but there's just that little bit, and I'm like, you know, I can't give it 4 stars yet.
Yeah, I guess so. It's good. It's not great. It's fine. It's better than it could have been. It's based on a book I haven't read that has an even dumber title than Child of Glass, which is The Ghost Belonged to Me. So I don't know if like that's better or what. But so I'll see 3 also. What about scariness?
1.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really supposed to be scary. I guess it could be if you were like really young or something. I mean, there are, again, if we were using like the alternative rules that we seem to drift in and out of here, that if it was happening to you, it would be more scary. Like there's like an angry drunk guy after you and you're a kid and there's like ghosts and stuff. And there's a curse.
Nope.
But as
come here, you little brat. Piss off.
But as it's presented, no. But it doesn't claim in the any of the genres. Nobody ever claims it to it. Although one of the things is like I left a couple of them out because what I said was it's a fantasy family adventure. But I could have just from IMDb added biography and drama to that. Which seems really bogus because it's a biography of who? Like, none of these people are real. I mean, there's some drama, I guess, but it's not a biography. I mean, it's kind of, I guess, a biography of fictional persons, sort of. But
I don't think that's how that works.
No, it's not how that works. It's not at all how that works.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
So yeah, 1. They did do the she's actually pretty when she doesn't have glasses on thing with the little girl with Blossom because he comes to do the crystal ball reading and she doesn't have her glasses on. She's got her hair all fixed up and she has the like pentagram thing on her cheek. And it's hard to recognize her and they're deliberately making her more cute than she is.
Well,
normally.
She's supposed to be dressed up like the aunt.
Yeah.
And it's just like she's really getting into the part.
Yeah, that's all we have to say about Child of Glass. We'll see you next time.
Later.